Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. I am your host, Ivan, and today we're going to be breaking down everything that happened away at Guadalajara with America's 3-0 win over Chivas in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. We'll look ahead into the second leg as well, as we're just almost 24 hours away from kickoff. And joining me today to do so is none other than our very own Chris Rivera and returning guest, none other than the man himself, the Carnicero, Mr. Brian. Gentlemen, how are we doing this fine evening?
Good. Happy for what's to come tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chris?
I'm excited. I'm excited to talk some more smack because, like I said, bro, what did I say? They were going to play emotional. And what happened? We're going to get into that, but I'm excited.
Absolutely. Well, I guess, yeah, let's jump right into it and let's talk America versus Chivas here. But actually, hold on. Before we do it, let's might as well just address this since we're going to be talking mostly just clásicos and stuff. Just quick club news and updates here. I guess we'll start off with that. Obviously, the biggest news and the biggest story running for América is the fact that it looks like Cabecita Rodriguez is all but officially departing Club América. So he is going to be no longer participating with América in the remaining of the season. He'll go off to Portland. He'll venture off into the MLS and will be down a player in the depth chart. So I'll ask you first, Brian, how are you feeling about the news?
It's kind of a weird time because we do need the depth on the team right now, especially it's not bad to have that on the attack. I will say that I didn't really care for how he was playing recently. He seemed like he was just not in the game. You know what I mean? So it's a little strange. The move's a little strange, but the other thing I was going to say was seeing how we're playing with Javairo, I think we have more moves like that coming down the line. Kind of like a guy who's looking for time, but the good attacking threat and talent and wants to showcase themselves. I think that's going to come down the line more. So this might be a blessing in disguise moving forward.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what America's got cooking in that department, but obviously we're not going to be able to see anything until summer. So, right, Chris, how are you feeling? Obviously, Cabecita, huge part of America's success within the past couple of seasons. I was reliving a couple of his goals, which is very vital whenever he was in form. And now it seems to be the fact that, you know, he's leaving. Is he leaving a big hole, a big gap in the America depths chart, or is it one of those things where, you know, like Brian said, it's a blessing in disguise and there's better to come?
No, it's definitely a blessing in disguise. It's losing a goal scorer like that. But I think, I mean, I kind of asked Christian, but he kind of doesn't really give me a full answer. It's just like, well, how much is the gap between Cabecita and Chava Reyes, right? Because that's really what Huge. You're looking at. It's the next man up. I don't know if it's that big, though. And I'll tell you why, but the thing is, when Chava Reyes gets going, he's also a very good goal scorer, you know? That's why I don't know if it's that big of a – let's look at the first season, bro, that he was with us, and even earlier this season. I get it. Cabecita is more experienced. He's more, just experienced in other teams and everything. He has just that track record. But I do think Chava Reyes, the gap isn't as big as we might think. Mind you, we're not talking about a starter, right? We're talking about a third left winger on the left. So to me, it's just like, well, we're talking about Cabecita, like, always very dry, right? Just when he's cold, he's really cold. When he's hot, he's really hot. Well, Chava Reyes is very similar, you know? So how much of a difference is it if they're both cold? Not really much of a difference. Now, you see Brian Rodriguez, instead of him having this cold and hot moment, you're going to see more consistency from him, right? And Quiñones is always going to be the starter. You know, I don't think anyone's going to take him out that spot. So for me, yes, it's a big loss from a goal scorer standpoint, but I do think Chava Reyes could potentially be that replacement temporary.
It'll be interesting to see whether or not that's true. I just think from a goal scoring perspective, I think Cabecita offered you a much more better finishing caliber than Chava Reyes does. I mean, you just have to look at Cabecita's and his kind of trademark goals, which were the curlers into the far post. I don't think Chava offers you that. But hey, look, I mean, we'll see what happens, right? I think Chris Ramirez puts it perfectly. He will be missed, but he wanted to leave, then it is what it is. So Gotti in the chat saying Brian looks stressed and we haven't even gotten ourselves 10 minutes into the podcast, Brian. So
what did I do?
I don't know. I'm worried. And then Kevin Perez was probably the best comment so far. Do we need to start a GoFundMe for Chris to get some lights? Still don't know what he looks like. So we just said, we're working on it. Dylan's kind of ranging the budgets with Brian. So hopefully we'll get some key lights for Chris for upcoming episodes. But yeah, that's obviously the big news in and around the world of Las Águilas del América. Brian Rodriguez out. I mean, excuse me, Cabecita Rodriguez out. And it looks like Brian Rodriguez is going to be taking his spot in kind of the pecking order of things. With that said, let's jump on into the hot, juicy topic that is América versus Chivas. Obviously, first leg, we spoke about it, Chris, and we expected a very different game than what we actually got on Wednesday. I think some of the things that we spoke about did come true, but honestly, I didn't expect to walk away with a 3-goal margin at kickoff. I was frustrated that we didn't walk away with more at the end of the game. So let's get into the nitty-gritty of it all. Brian, coming into this game, we knew that we were kind of the favorites, but how did you expect America to play, and did it differ to what we actually saw last week on Wednesday?
Heading into it, I felt like we had control. Like I did, like the rhythm, the everything was looking up for America. I didn't think this was going to be more than maybe a goal, maybe a 2-1. But to see how it unfolded and capitalizing, and you know, I just was expecting a little bit of a different game. But overall, I mean, I can't complain, right? I mean, you got a goal in the first half. Continued to build momentum. Second half, you know, of course Chivas gets a red card, but you know, you take advantage of that, and now you're up 3-0. Can't let off the gas here, but I just can't complain, and that's how you want to finish the game, 3-0.
I agree, and the most frustrating thing about it is the fact that we weren't able to capitalize on our momentum until that red card actually happened, which was the frustrating thing for me. And then afterwards, yeah, we kept going. But there was moments in time where I felt like we were letting Chivas grow in the game when we should have killed them off from the get-go. Chris, yeah,
there were some set pieces that got a little scary, but mm-hmm. I'm just glad like those weren't capital. There was no capitalize on that, but you know, it is what it is, right?
No, I agree. And Chris, I mean, I don't know if you felt the same way as I did, but there was some frustration that the final third, we were just lacking creativity, or we were just lacking that final pass. We were very inconsistent. We were very imprecise at moments when attacking. I mean, Israel Reyes, I think, felt like he handicapped us at moments. I don't know if that's fair to say.
I don't think he completely handicapped us, but I do agree with you saying that anytime there was momentum, here comes Israel. I think it was you, right? You or me, you said it, that the momentum just always got killed when Israel Reyes had to, you know, be part of the attack, right? Had to restart right away. It was frustrating, like you guys are saying, you know, we should have probably won a little bit more, you know, but, you know, you can't complain. It's 3-0. They have to score 3 to take us to penalties. We got us 4 to eliminate us. And it's hard for me not to see us score another goal, right? One goal and it's over. I don't see them scoring 5. I don't see them scoring 4. but one goal and it's over. And you know, like Brian said, you can't complain over a 3-0.
We can't, but it's our specialty here on the podcast to complain. Even a 3-0 performance. I think for me, honestly, it was the fact that we looked very complacent with like a goal or two. And like we were just settling at one point until obviously that late goal from Henry Martin, which Brian, I know you were super ecstatic when thinking that was going to be Nevada's goal. But it was just, I was frustrated the whole time watching and sitting there thinking, we're up a man. We should be dominating this game. We could have walked away with a four, even five. And I know maybe that sounds excessive, but it was justifiable with what we did on the pitch. And I'll say this much. I saw an America that was at about maybe 70-75% at most through that entire match. And it frustrated me because I was like, this is the moment to kind of kill them while they're down. And we're not doing so. We're just playing very lackadaisical sometimes. And I don't know. It frustrated me. Obviously, I'm content with the result. I'm happy that we got a 3-goal margin. Obviously, it makes that mountain just that much more steeper for them to climb. And we have to kill the game off at the Azteca, but we'll get into that in just a little bit. But I just feel like America, not to say that they didn't take it with the utmost, like they knew that the game was important, but I felt like at moments of the time, they just felt relaxed because they knew that they were going to win the game regardless, right? So
let me ask you this, bro, because I think the listeners are probably like, why are you being so negative? Do you feel we won because of us, or you think we won because of them? Meaning they were the reason why these goals happened, not necessarily us creating these chances and scoring.
No, it was the former. The game was definitely merited on our end, and that's why I'm so frustrated, because I know that we can do more, we can deliver more. Like, we just came off a 5-1 victory against Atlas. You come on and you play against Chivas and you can easily score the same amount of goals, but you're not playing at the same intensity. You're not playing at that same kind of like, okay, here we go. Like, we started the game off great. And then we got that goal. We dwindled a little bit. Second half came in. We let them grow a little bit. That red card happens. We score a couple goals. I mean, we score the goal that Diego Valdez does, and then we have to wait until the 90th minute to get that third goal. I just feel like there was lapses and gaps in between where America could have filled themselves in looking much better. I don't know if that's, I mean, that's harsh.
I get it. I mean, I'm not. So the only thing I'll say is Jardine ball just consists of not making a mistake, right? And not giving away the ball. I think that's a thing that we just have to accept, right? That we're not going to see all these chances being created. We're going to see until they mess up, and that's when we're going to take advantage of the situation, right? I feel like that's what it was, right? The Quiñones goal, for example, right? They pass it to him. He misses, right? But or it gets saved, and then the penalty. Stuff like that. It just, they know that Chivas is going to make a mistake. And I feel like Jardine ball is that. You're never going to see a billion crosses, bro. I think we saw that a lot with Tano. Or with Tano, we didn't win 5-0. It wasn't because we weren't trying to win 5-0. With Jardine, I think, okay, you know, we're just going to wait until we're going to have possession of the ball the majority of the game. And then if the opportunity shows up, we're going to take it. And, you know, it doesn't always happen. I think that's the case in this game, right? Because you're right. We should have won at least 5-0. I do think we were that much superior, but we weren't taking the chances. And it wasn't because Chivas weren't letting us. It's just simply, you know, we were just being patient until they made a mistake.
Okay. I like the way that you break it down. I guess I'm the only one maybe on this little island. Alan's saying, I think it was a perfect game. So, you know, he's saying they didn't have anything to lose and had players that pressed well. So that made it difficult. You know, and I agree to some extent that you know, they made it difficult at moments, but I still think that we were the more better side and the talented side, but regardless, let's shift away from the negative, Brian. Let's talk about the positive. What really stood out in this game for you, for America?
Well, I like getting the attacking game going early instead of just kind of waiting and feeling things out. So when you create, you know, the thing is to create opportunities and get, you know, that confidence going. And I thought that was what happened. Obviously, Quiñones is going to tap that in if he doesn't get tripped up. And, you know, now you're up 1-0. Thankfully, he got the penalty and converted. And I will say that, yeah, I do agree that that could have been pressed more, especially when they got the red card, to put the foot down on the gas a little bit, because that's one thing I've noticed a little bit in this season is like a little bit of kind of second half, I wouldn't say laziness, but disconnect. But I think it was what you needed to do, especially when you're the road team. So I just think that's going to carry over in this next game. As long as you don't have a hiccup very early, I still got America in the driver's seat right now.
I agree. I think we're very much in the driver's seat. And so how that reflects on Wednesday game, we'll have to wait and see. But you're right. I do think that we attacked very well from the get-go and kind of give you reminiscences of the Cruz Azul game, Chris, right? From the beginning, attacking at them, kind of offsetting them and keeping that high press at times, forcing mistakes. And so it was good. I mean, we saw players running down the pitch. I saw Cendejas again with that same spark, that same energy that he had against Cruz Azul. And, you know, it paid dividends. I think he opened up channels and he, you know, made things difficult for Chivas, even though we didn't absolutely attack that right hand side the way that we all anticipated we would. And I know we spoke heavily about it on last week's podcast, Chris, but still, regardless, we did what we could, and America walks away with a 3-goal cushion, which is huge, you know.
I mean, Javairo proved my point against Tigres. He proved my point against Tigres that if you were to put him against that youngster from Chivas, the same thing would have happened. And Cendejas had a really good game too. He gave him difficulties, but we just didn't attack that side. I don't know why. I feel like that right side is just a huge weakness for Chivas. But, you know, Javairo proved my point either way against Tigres, so I guess I can't really complain.
Yeah, agreed. Defensively, though, I thought, again, another sound performance from everyone that played. You know, Ramon Juarez got some minutes. Igor, again, looking solid. And Cáceres, again, looking like our best defender. So it's impressive to see what this America side has been able to do defensively speaking, Brian. They are on track for just an amazing stat. I mean, I was looking over, and I think we have only conceded a total of 6 goals so far in the league. And let me tell you exactly how many clean sheets we have right now, because I should have had it on deck. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 clean sheets this whole season already. Then in all competitions. And, you know, that's huge. Huge numbers to be pulling out. Mind you, with a defense that hasn't been so consistent as far as who's playing with each other. So that's got to speak volumes of what we have going on.
Yeah, no, I mean, you don't know. I mean, the right back changes, the left back changes. You know, people are like, oh, I don't know if Chicote is ready, or, you know, who should we put there? Should we put Fuentes back there? So the fact that they're making these games so easy for the rest of the team is kind of nice to see. I know it hasn't been perfect. But like you said, like Ramon has been amazing. Igor, I thought he was playing hilariously against Chivas. Like, he was trying to toy around yeah. when he would get the ball and drag a player in and then last second clear it. And I'm like, I'm freaking out. I'm like, dude, get rid of the ball. But he did it. So I can't complain. And like, it's just strange. And I guess there's another reflection of the attack. When those guys are really, you know, feeling good and confident in scoring goals, then the defenders are going to have that response. But again, with the switching around from like left backs and right backs and center backs, that's impressive. That's just a reflection of the whole team.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, it's a real solid unit. And so again, great performance by them last week, and hope to repeat that again on Wednesday against Chivas in the second leg. Anything else that stood out to you guys that you guys want to talk about in regards to what we saw last week in the first leg at the Estadio Corona?
I mean, just the fact that I said, you know, that they were going to be emotional. I just think Chivas is just too much of a predictable team now. Like they're trying to fight Fidalgo at the half, and it's like,
that's true.
and then Mozo walking away after trying to confront him.
It's just like they're more worried about that. And I'd be watching these Chivas like spaces on Twitter and their podcasts, and they're all complaining about the same thing, and they really think that it's just a matter of, oh, like in Spanish, right? Tener huevos and this and that, and like, oh, amar a la playera. Like, bro, it's like, if you think that's really what makes us different, like, you have no idea of a serious club, right? Like I'm not trying to jinx us either, you know. That's why I kept on saying, like I think because I want to jinx us, because anything could happen. It's the sport of football. Anything always happens. But just recent history, you listen to them and you see them play, and it's just like, it's not just love for the shirt, because we've had players that we consider they betrayed us and stuff, right? Oribe Peralta, for example, you know, he goes to Chivas, or Cordova, you know, who goes to Tigres, or just those examples. But it's just culturally, it's just a different thing. It's not just understanding where you're at. It's everyone. Chicote says it in the podcast with Canelo Angulo, which I suggest, you know, everyone goes and check it out. He talks about the differences, where it's like everyone there, from the staff to the person that cuts the grass, and everyone is just, you know, the mentality is just different, and it's not just loving the shirt, you know. And that's why, for me, I look at this game and it was all emotional, and it's just like, you know what, like, we're too much of a serious club that we're just always going to beat that. They're always going to be emotional against us, and we're always going to beat that. And I don't know if I'm the only one that feels that way, but it just seems too predictable. Like, if we go into the second leg and we beat them the same way, it doesn't surprise me. If we go into next Saturday and beat them the same way, and we win all three games the same way, it does not surprise me. I think that it's just culturally, that's how they are. They're emotional. They're crybabies. Their fan base is the same way. Like, tell me where I'm lying, you know? Like, it's just, to me, it was just a very predictable game.
That's interesting. Brian, did you care to comment on the predictability of Chivas, or
any? I would kind of touch more on like the emotional side. So your rival just wins the league, right? So for them, that's like a big issue. And to restore faith, restore image, especially up with off season, I'm not going to get into it with, you know, a certain signing they had. But this was their chance to, you know, fix some of the recent history, especially since America just won. Now you lose a game in CONCA Champions, or whatever it's called now, but then you get another game coming up, and then another game coming up. Now imagine losing all three of those, plus America gets a rhythm. America looks good in both the league and the cup, and it comes at your, you know, expense. That's now the emotion is definitely not looking good for them, especially, you know, after a 3-0 at your own house. That's just, now the emotion is really high. Now, could that transform into something? Like you're saying, you can't totally predict. That can be a little bit of a, you know, taboo thing to you'd say, like, we're just going to blow them out. You know, they could score early. You never know. But how things are unraveling, like going down two games with another one coming up, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow. Those are uncomfortable truths right now for Chivas, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, we'll see. It would be great, right? It would be America folklore. Like, you just beat them three times in a row in one season consecutively. you know, knock them out of the cup, break their spirit for the league, go and win both competitions. Writes itself, doesn't it, at this point? But again, got to take it game by game, and we'll see, right? Chris saying Efecto Dreyfus. I still can't say that, right? Dreyfus.
Please don't make me explain who that is
again. No, I know. I know what it is, and Brian for sure already knows what it is. So, yeah, I guess we'll see. Quick question. Just one question I want to add on before we kind of talk and preview tomorrow's matchup. This result and the way that we performed, does it put us as a key title contender for the Champions Cup? In the eyes of the rest of the region, is America now top two, top three teams to win this competition? Chris, you're pointing one.
One. I think Messi knows who we are now.
Mind you, Messi's always known who we are.
If he didn't know who we are, he knows who we are now.
Trust me, Messi knows who America is, all right? It's the one team he fears. you know, I'm saying this because I think we had one of the most strongest opponents that any other team could have possibly had. Maybe Miami with Nashville is another one that kind of looked like it could be kind of even in that status. But you kind of look at the other performances from the teams. At the moment, right, Pachuca is winning right now 6-0 and is blowing Philly out of the water.
They won.
So
they won.
Oh, they won already.
It's over.
Whatever. They beat them 6-0, right? And okay, maybe that helps Pachuca kind of rank the table a little bit. But prior to this week, I do think that this performance puts America kind of in that top three region of like, okay, they are probably heavy, heavy favorites to win just because of the opponent that they went to. They did it in an away leg and they still have a home leg to go with a rivalry, with everything going on. I do think that surely it has to catapult America up there, right, Brian?
I would think so, because even though it was a completely different situation, like the League's Cup in the summer, how America came into that, blew out, you know, had a blowout in the first game. Again, situation was different. You're on the road the entire time. But people were like, America, you know, that from the Mexico side, that's definitely a team to watch out for. But this is a different situation. This is so much different. Right now, it's hard to say America's not at least top three most dangerous teams, especially as, like we said, being on the road against a rival and just kind of just dismantling them. If I'm anybody else, and then again, this weekend against Tigres, like that, I didn't have us winning. I put on a bet, a double chance, Tigres or draw, because I saw that lineup and I'm like, where are we going to score? Like, what? Like, you know what I mean? And look, and then it was just like easy money, you know? So
no, absolutely.
I would not want to play America right now, even though you just, you know, just had a player leave, but still. No.
Yeah. I just think it's huge. And I know some people might bring up the whole Real Esteli thing, but really during that whole week, I don't think any of the team shined either too. Like it wasn't like a stellar team. Like not even Messi's Miami was that impressive. Right. So it just goes to show, I think. You're right. Correct. They didn't play. They didn't. That wasn't their round.
It was a strange time of the cup. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
So again, you know, I just feel like that performance puts us up there, right? Pachuca blows Philly out of the water. That's a whole different story. I think if America can kind of repeat what they did against Chivas on Wednesday, I think it does catapult us even higher. So we'll have to wait and see. AP Jr. saying, for once, I agree with Ivan. Messi fears America. So glad that AP Jr. is taking that side.
I have us as number one because I think...
I still don't, only because of the Real Esteli thing. And that's sure. It. Because
I'll say three.
Yeah, I'm there in that three because I just know that we find a way to complicate life on the road against teams that we shouldn't. And so I just want to see us not do that in this competition. And if we can do that, then I'm up there with you, Chris. I'm putting us at number one. But
the reason I put us one is because I think all eyes were on this Clásico, and I think every team watched that game, bro. I don't think if any player says that they didn't watch that game, it's a lie. I think they in this competition, every team was looking at that game, saying they're having the most intense game, right? It's a Clásico. There's no other game in this region. Maybe Monterrey Tigres, who they didn't play each other.
Not even close.
Right? No, but I mean in levels of intensity. I know it's, you know, this is the only round where these two teams traditionally hate each other. They're going to go all out, and look how we expose that team. Mind you, yes, there's another leg. I'm not trying to jinx us, right? Because anything could happen, like I said earlier. It's football. We've seen crazier things. With that being said, there's no way teams around this region is not looking at that game and saying, we have, like, that might come here and might do the same thing to us. Yes, Real Esteli was a hiccup, right? I don't think you judge this America, at least right now, to that one. Because I think now, Henry didn't play both legs, right? Now Henry Martin's back. Valdez, I don't even think played either. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think he featured off the bench.
See, so I think it's just a different team. So you have to look at it from this team right now, a full healthy team. I don't see how any other team, right? We're talking Messi, right? You think Messi doesn't say this team could come into our stadium? Prices are going to be super pricey, but their fan base is going to show up because that fan base always shows up. And then we have to go and travel to Mexico City. And that's a final, right? We're talking final, but just an example, right? Next round, we'll potentially face New England. You don't think they look at it the same way, saying that, like, New England doesn't sell out, bro. Like, their fans, they don't really have fans. So they're going to have an away game, for example, as a home game. And then they have to go and travel to Mexico City, and it's just going to be, you know, mind you, it's like I said, it's football. Anything could happen. But from a mindset standpoint, they're saying this is our toughest team, our toughest matchup. So for me, it's just one. I don't think any other team brings that fear. I don't think Messi brings that fear, right? Miami, I don't think Monterrey, I don't think Tigres, I don't even think Chivas. Pachuca, they're kind of a weird team, right? Because they go and play 0-0 over there, and then they just completely destroy Philly and Pachuca with like zero, almost as well, just empty stadium, basically. You know how Pachuca is, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's just from every aspect of the game, America is bringing more to it, and it's more intimidating. So for me, it's one. America's one in all of this.
Well, you make a compelling argument there. I, you know, it's true that there's no other team that can kind of instill all of that, but I still feel like there is lapses of time where I need to see America perform in an away leg that isn't in Mexico. And then I can soundly say, okay. Or beat Papa Pachuca in CONCACAF Champions Cup too. You know, that's important. But all right, enough about talking about the past. Let's focus on the future, gentlemen. Obviously, we all mentioned it. Second leg is still yet to be played. And curious as to how this America side is actually going to do in the second leg. Brian, it was a huge, huge, huge surprise to all of us when Jardine threw out a whole B squad against Tigres, resting every single A-list player that possibly could be featured in the game against Chivas, with the exception of Sendejas, but I think he has three lungs, so he should be fine. First of all, what does that say? What does that statement say? Not just to us, the fans, but to the team and to the competition that is the CONCACAF Champions Cup, that Jardine was willing to potentially maybe throw away the Tigres game and rest all his players for a second leg in where you're already 3-0 up.
Well, it's kind of like we talked about before, right? It's like you look at this schedule and there's a lot of games coming up. So you're going to have to almost sacrifice something, and looking past that game that we just had, you could live with a draw. You could live with maybe a B team loss, quote unquote. But the fact that they went out there, they got the win. like I said, I didn't even have that happening like in my head. So, I think we've learned from that again. Talking about the CONCACAF, like the Esteli game, I think that was a management flub. Like mentally, I just don't think that was prepped right. The lineup wasn't right. I think they learned their lesson and they're like, oh, okay, we need to like really show up and show who we are now. And that's what we just saw, you know, on this weekend. So the fact that they were able to get that result, I think that speaks volumes right now.
Absolutely. I mean, I was just sitting there thinking, okay, we're getting a fully rotated squad. I actually thought that he was going to put the starters again against Tigres and then put a kind of makeshift squad that could get the job done against Chivas.
Right.
But he completely threw me for a loop. And the fact that he played, you know, I guess, quote unquote, a B team against Tigres to be able to put out an A squad against Chivas, you just have a sense of feeling that he said that he's keeping true to his word. CONCACAF Champions Cup is the priority for this team, but without discrediting the league either. And he has a perfect week to showcase those words, in where you can go on and beat Chivas in the first leg, throw a rotational squad into the league, get the 3 points there, and then still finish off the game against Chivas very strongly and showcase not just to to your opponents and to the region as a whole that, hey, I am capable of doing both just fine. So that is a strong message. And all America needs to do now is get the job done against Chivas. And Chris, how does America get the job against Chivas come Wednesday? Obviously, I'm not even going to go with the predicting start 11 because it just sounds like we're going to rinse and repeat. With maybe, no, I'm pretty sure Kevin Alvarez is not going to start. So I'll definitely still be Israel Reyes on the right.
Yeah,
everyone's starting again. So do you just kind of do the same? Do you just kind of rinse and repeat and say, okay, the same way you played against them on last week, go ahead and do it again this week? Or do you think that there's a switch in tactics or a switch in the approach for this game?
It's hard to say because I do think we're still obligated to score one more. You know, yes. I think it's not obligated on result, right? Because, I mean, we could just sit back and let them attack, but let's not do that. You know, I think end it quick, score the goal. With that being said, I think Chivas is going to be super open. They have to be open. I think we're going to see a Chicharito and Macias starting probably. We're going to see something like that. We're going to see a very attack team, and that's where, like I said in the first leg, I want Javairo to play because you saw what he did against Tigres. You know, he takes that mark, bro, that he's a different player. I don't know if you guys remember when Messi first played in League's Cup, the tempo that he plays in is just completely different to everyone else. Javairo's the same way. You see him play and he's just way faster than everyone else. So for me, like, if Chivas goes all attack and they have to, I don't see a game where they don't try to score, because if they don't, then what's the point, you know? They kind of just sabotage themselves. So they're going to have to attack. And for me, you have to go and put your fastest players. And for me, like, even though Sendejas has been playing good for me, like, I've been defending Sendejas the whole season, right? And now everyone's kind of more in the same boat. They're having a better season. Still, Javairo is a different player in a different tempo, like I said. For me, put him in, have that 1v1 versus, I would imagine, again, Mateo Chavez. If it's not, it's Chiquete, and it doesn't even matter who it is at that point because they're not going to catch up to him. So for me, that it's going to have to be, if Sendejas is starting, you're going to have to see more of us attacking. If Javairo plays, we have to sit back a bit, have that space open that's going to be open for us, and just counterattack, and we're gonna win in those two ways.
Okay. All right. I like it. The one thing I don't want to see, Brian, is a repeat of what happened last season in the semifinal against San Luis, where we completely won the game or completely threw them out of the water in the first leg. And in the second leg, you come, you play kind of like just, you know, like at 60, not even 60. I think we played like at 40% that game, and just completely just like are careless, you know, like you could care less about the game at that point. Like, you knew you were through. Like, I don't want to see a repeat of that. Oh, you're muted, Brian.
I didn't want to see that either. But the other thing too was seeing that there's another game coming after that. I think they want to put their stamp on this, like, for good, and don't be lazy. Don't be, you know, lackadaisical, and let them kind of breathe in this. You know what I mean? Getting another big win, especially at home after a win like that. I mean, that's like, you know, the main prize. And then going into the weekend, it's just all the chips are on your side. So, I don't think we're going to see anything like in the past, especially management wise, mentality wise. I think every player wants to go out there and just, you know, eliminate your opponent. That's just how it is.
Okay. I like it. Chris saying, if we want home advantage against New England, we need to go all out. And I'm glad that he brings up this comment, because now you're kind of playing a different game. You're not necessarily now just playing to win this game. You're also playing to think about a home field advantage for the next round, thinking that, okay, we know that New England, what they end up winning 4-1, right? So they have, so the way that it breaks down is like, there's a league table in a sorts. So the tiebreaker is obviously how many wins you have, but then after that is a tiebreaker of how many goals you've scored. So right now they're at the same win level, right? They won one game, we won one game. They won by four goals to one. We won 3-0. I think now they're up against, they're up because they scored four goals. Oh, they won 4-0. Thank you, Chris. So they're up by one goal. So depending on what they do in the second leg and how many goals they score, or if they draw or whatever, you kind of have to keep an eye on that and say, okay, now we need an X amount of goals in order to surpass them, get that second leg, which I think will be important. I think always closing a series at your home is going to be detrimental, right? If you can gain that advantage, do so. And so I don't necessarily think that's the game plan for tomorrow, but it would be interesting to kind of have that in the back of the player's head. It's like, okay, we need X amount of goals, and Chivas will most likely present themselves to open up space and attack. So go at it, you know? Even if you get one goal, an early goal, and it kind of just kills them off, keep going, right? Just score another one, two, three, maybe even four. Like, I'm not saying that that's going to be the case, right? I don't expect it to be a blowout just like that, as simple as possible. I mean, with the way that we're presenting it, yes, it could be. But again, food for thought is what I'm really trying to grasp at here. It's just, it's a possibility for these players to kind of keep in their head. And hopefully, we do somehow find a way to, you know, to get up there and get that home field advantage. So, yeah.
But it's kind of going back to what Chris said, is that, like, I think America fans are going to show up no matter what, you know?
Yeah,
that does matter, right? I mean, you want to be the most dominant, but I'm way more worried about Chivas than I would be New England. But again, I don't want to even look at that yet. We still got to finish the second.
Yeah, round. No, of course.
But yeah, I just think America looks really, really good if they, you know, get through to New England, no matter what. If you start at home or you start away. But I get it. I get it. You want to stamp your authority on everything, right? So,
and hopefully America does so in Wednesday's matchup. Chris, we spoke about how this America side has been kind of growing as the seasons progress. The core or the base players have been with each other for, I want to say, 2-3 seasons now, maybe even longer, right? Midwestern Cholo puts, I think the team wants to get revenge on the semifinal loss in the league. What was it, a year ago? I expect the team to be focused. Do you agree with that? Do you think that there's a sense of, like, you know what? I want that revenge. specifically players like Fidalgo, players like Zendejas, players that kind of, you know, maybe even Diego Valdez too, who thought he almost won it for us, or, you know, in that game. Do you think that there's an added, you know, I wouldn't say pressure, but just a little bit more of like, all right, this is our game to take, and I'm gonna make sure that we get across the finish line this time.
No, I don't really think so, because I think winning the championship kind of erases that, you know, just the way that season ended for Chivas and how last season ended for us. I think it's one of those things where it's just like, we did what you couldn't, you know, and I think the Clásicos have just always been America. Players just know what it is, you know. They, like I said, I was watching this, I was listening to these Spaces and these Chivas podcasts just because they're all over TikTok. I'm sure if you guys have TikTok, you guys run into them too. And they say, bro, like, these Henry Martin has these celebrations already prepared with the mindset that, oh, I'm going to score and I'm going to celebrate a certain way. Like, our players already know what it is, bro. Like, they're going to go and they're going to win this game because it's mandatory, and they're going to celebrate a certain way. They're going to treat it a certain way. While over there, I think it's hell week for them. I think they do view it as in like, man, not like, if we don't survive this, all the pressure is going to come to us. Kate Cowell is already getting booed, bro. Well, not that long ago, they were selling cowboy hats, bro. And they were all hugging them at the airport. They showed, like, you know how they meet them outside of the hotels? I don't know if you guys, there's only two fans, bro, in Mexico City waiting for them. Like, it's serious, yeah, bro. Like,
and they were all saying that they were the best team going to the airports and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like those players are just viewing it as, and like, they're gonna celebrate us for a good start, and then America Week comes and it's hell, bro. Like, for them, it's not like, oh, we're gonna beat them. It's, well, let's see how it goes. Well, for America, it's, oh, Henry Martin scores, oh, we're all gonna get together and we're all gonna flex on the fans. Like, come on, bro. Like, the mindset is, like I said, the mindset is just different. They're emotional in these games. I'm expecting the next two games to be very emotional for them, and I'm expecting us to be calm. Right, unless we get a red card like the Fidalgo red card, where I do think that's when it sucks the life out of us. Stuff like that just sucks the life out of us. Now with Jardine, it hasn't happened, right? So I don't know how he'd adapt to that situation. But for them, it's just emotional. I'm expecting that. That's exactly what I'm expecting out of the next two games. Emotional, and they're gonna try to get it over with. I don't think. Like, I'm expecting Nick tomorrow to be very similar to the first game, where they're going to try. They're going to be moments. And then we're just going to hit them with one shot, and they're out cold. Whether it's early, whether it's late, that one goal is going to kill them completely. And then we're going to probably see AJ fall asleep again.
We're going to help him cover the match tomorrow. Because
it's going to be late. And
it's going to be a late game for AJ.
It's boring. Yeah, this game is boring. That's exactly what I'm expecting.
Okay. All right. Brian, we were also talking before we started podcasting about the fact that this Chivas side is kind of expected to go all-out attack. So you're expecting, kind of like Chris mentioned, a Chicharito, a Macias. So defensively speaking, whoever does play in that center back's partnership role will have, you would imagine, a little bit more of a tougher game than they did last week. But that also means that if Chivas gets a little bit careless going forward, use and abuse the spaces given. Do you expect that to be kind of the rhythm of the game, where America will be smart with holding kind of what they did against Cruz Azul, holding their line, holding their position, their tactical position, and then taking off on the wings or in the counter?
Yeah, I think you're going to see like a prototypical Mexican League game in this one. Like, you're gonna see a lot of back and forth, and like we saw in this past weekend, America can really make you pay. And I think now Chivas sees that too, because it was a little bit of a, you know, this wasn't the best America side that went out this past weekend. and they still did, you know, what's in their DNA. And now you got Javairo coming in, and I liked the guy. I liked what I saw. I know it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to this team, and I know there's a language difference and all this stuff, but now he's rolling. I mean, this, like, I think América really wants to hit the counter hard, depending on whoever's, you know, playing up front. And then, man, if Chivas just get out of ideas and they're not even winning the ball in the air, I think that's when América is going to put something away and take that advantage right there.
Absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And all América needs to do is score one, and they kill the game off, which is a huge bonus to have, to be honest. But again, it's like you mentioned, Chris, whether it comes early, whether it comes late, whether it comes in between, you know, those two things, a goal is what America needs regardless. So I'm excited to see what happens. But all right, gentlemen, give me your prediction for tomorrow's matchup, which is going to be an interesting one. 7:30 kickoff, which is 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 p.m. Sorry, 10:30 p.m. Eastern and 9:30 Central. A little late one there. But what is your guys' prediction for the game tomorrow? I'll throw it to you first, Brian.
Well, in the past, I've made a mistake.
No, don't start, Brian. Don't start with the whole. I will end the call right now.
I'm gonna say América takes care of business 2-0.
2-0. I'm loving it. I'm loving it because not the two goals, the clean sheet. I love me a clean sheet. I love me a clean sheet so much. Just don't know why we're never able to get these with Ochoa. But all right, Chris, give me your prediction.
2-0 also, but I was gonna say, hey brother, you're giving people ammo with that one.
Yeah, I know. I heard myself once it came out. I was like, well, never mind.
2-0, I think. I mean, I'll say it right now, bro. I want three clasicos in a row clean sheets. How humiliating would it be, bro, for Chivas to say we couldn't even score one? Do you know how, like,
that would be humiliating.
And I've been, like, talking crap on my Twitter, bro, and on group chats that I'm in with the homies. I'm just going off, sending memes, just going off, bro. And for me, like, if we were to win these three games, all clean sheets, like what can they say to us, bro? They're bragging about airports, about Chicharito's accomplishments off the bench. Like, bro, like, shut up, you know? Like, talk to me when you face us in the championships that we care about, not about all of that that's irrelevant. And if we were to get three clean sheets, like I'm expecting us to win all three games. We're not going to touch on the game on Saturday, but they're not going to have two key players because of yellow cards, bro. Like, just like, there's no reason for us not to win that game either, you know? So for me, I'm looking at this as a 2-0, maybe a 3-0, right? It really depends on how it goes. If we get the goal early, it's hard for me not to see us go again. It is very possible that Jardine at the 70 minute says, you know what, the game's over. We're just going to defend, kind of end this game. It's already over. They're not going to score. And maybe they get one. Very possible. But even then, Malagón, like, is in a whole other level too. Like, bro, we're not even talking about the fact that Néstor Araujo played this Saturday and played good, bro.
No, he did, like, not. There was moments in time where I was like, my God, Nestor, get back good. Where you're supposed to go.
I thought he played good. Maybe not great, but I thought he played.
He looked gassed good, like, after the 70th minute.
Well, he did say that he was gassed. Okay, but either way, like, point is, like, no errors were made from Néstor Araujo. Like, for me, it's just right now, I don't see any team beating us. I mean, Pachuca maybe, because that's just their nature of beating us. But other than that, like, I'm 2-0, maybe 3, but I'm expecting clean sheet the whole three clasicos.
Oh, I'm loving that. All right, then I'm going with my prediction. I'm going. Oof, you guys make it difficult now, but I'm gonna say 2-0 as well. All right, I'm gonna say 2-0. I'm gonna keep myself grounded.
I'll put the bet in tonight.
Putting the bet tonight, I guess. If Christian was here, I would ask him, like I always do, what is the possibility? What are the probabilities that America walks away with like a 3-4-0 victory? You know, and he might have gone with something like, you know, slim, but hey, like we always say, you know, no percentage is too small here on the Eagle Eye podcast. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what happens. So Chris was saying, heart saying 5-0, but my head's saying 2-0. All right. It's one of those moments. If America doesn't park the bus and goes for the kill, he's going 4-1. That's huge. Damn. It's Chris and AP Jr. with some bold predictions here. Midwestern Chola saying, I predicted the 3-0 score last week, so I'm going to manifest the 4-0 tomorrow. Well, all hail Midwestern Chola if that's the case.
I respect it. Hey, I'll say this. Maybe there's a message on benching everybody, bro, against Tigres.
That's what I'm saying. Like there is that clear intent to play your best players to, I would assume, kill the game off. I wouldn't assume just by one goal. And look, this team needs to get sharper on their finishing. Like, even if we win 3-0, we're missing like 4 or 5 chances. That just cannot happen. Mm-hmm. And AP Jr. saying, like I said, America have the edge simply because we want to win trophies. And Chivas just wants to win games to talk about it. So kind of echoing what you were saying.
If they go 3 games and do not score a goal with Macias, Cheech, Cade, all these guys that, you know, that they felt really good about coming into the season, that is a detrimental moment, because I mean, man, that's not even like a penalty, like just clean sheet. There's got to be incentive for America to be like, let's get this done, let's just like,
yeah, you know, I'm sure Escarraga's pulling out the big bucks for this.
Exactly.
All right, well, with that said, anything else to add on, gentlemen, before we wrap it up here?
No, not really, other than the fact that, like, I was going to mention, like, Naveda helped set up that last goal, right? Yeah. My issue with his role with this team is I want to see a little more of him consistently. Not just, here's 8 minutes, 10, 4, here's 90, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see him, let's get, like, a little more, because I think that he will be a great fit with this team. That's my only comment. But other than that, everyone's looking pretty good.
All right, last two questions here. One for you, Brian. Is Naveda the answer to whenever Jonathan Dos Santos ends up leaving America?
I hope so. I mean, if he keeps ripping shots like that, that lead up to goals. And
what? He has that in his locker. I remember a game. Well, it had to be like 3 years ago, maybe even 4. It was America Santos. It was an away leg. An away game. And he just rips one and almost scores on Santos, but it hits the post. So I do like his long range shots, you know?
I mean, that's the reason I call him Little Germán Villas. Yeah. That's the reason I call him that. Because he does have that shot that Germán Villas does, even though he doesn't show it all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I was going to say one other thing. When he played in Poland, like, he was very physical too. He was a very physical player, which I think he is bringing over to this team. So, like I said, I want to see a little bit more of his development, because I think he is growing. So I do like what I've seen so far from him.
All right. Second question, throwing it to you, Chris. Javairo, does he get a goal in these next 2 games against Chivas?
Oh. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is for the same reason that in the Saturday game, Chiquete's not playing.
True.
Javairo's gonna have to either play second half or he's starting.
Yeah.
They put Mateo Chavez, bro. He's like, their fan base doesn't rate him already, right? They hate on him. But for me, it's just these players that they overhype because they're offensively good. The fullbacks. And then they get burnt defensively. And this is my thing with Mosso that I've been saying since he was in Pumas. I don't care if you're flashy offensively if you're getting burnt. What is it, exactly what we criticize Emilio Lara for? he looks flashy when he goes up, but then he's getting burnt when it's time to go back.
Yep.
So same thing, Mosso and Mateo Chavez, same thing. And I think Javairo is going to get a goal. I'll even say it, tomorrow he gets a goal as a sub. I'll say that.
Wow.
I'll predict that. I'll predict
that. There we go. Look at that. Manifesting Santi Navella to be the starter eventually down the line for America and manifesting a Javairo goal in a Clásico. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. All right, gentlemen. Last thing before we wrap it up here. In Dreyfus, we trust. All right. Signing off here, guys. All right. You guys have a wonderful time. Take care. It's been fun. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America and kind of recap everything that's been going on with this Clásico after Clásico after Clásico setup that we've been having. Thank you so much, Brian, for taking the time coming out here. I know that you're a very busy man, so we appreciate the chance of you coming and dropping by.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. And Chris, as always, my friend, thank you so much. It's been fun. It's been great.
Yes, sir. Sorry for taking long with my thing when having you guys await. But
you're fine. You're fine. All righty then. Well, with that said, you guys all have a wonderful time. Take care. And as always, Arriba la America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.